Hey, it's Phil Henry. Host of the Phil Henry Show. On a Wednesday here, and this is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and this is day three here of this here week. It's also like day two of attempting to do our show kind of half speed, and you understand if you were with us on Monday and last week, you know, I was knocked low. I was knocked low, my brothers and sisters, by this nasty cold flu slash creeping crud, whatever. And it's significant for me because, you know, I do all these, like, different character voices, and it's completely impossible when you have a nasty affliction like this. So what happened to me last week, just to recap, if you weren't with us on Monday, is I got basically a cold, sick, and then I got pink eye, which is pretty embarrassing more than anything else. I don't know that pink eye is, you know, all that debilitating, but it's pretty embarrassing just to say I have pink eye. Really? What are you, five, man? You know, and people immediately assume that you're playing with your own whatever, because that's what people were saying to me. What are you, that kids get that, man, when they're sticking their hands in their diaper. So I said, well, you know, you get your joy where you can, but the fact is, I think I'm better, and people that are watching on our Phil TV in HD, there I am in close-up. I'll give you the close-up there. Now, I know it looks bad, but that's only because I've been drinking. I'm kidding. No, it looks bad because I don't think it looks that bad. Let me recap. Let me go back and restate. So this conjunctivitis, which is something that you highly contagious, and you get it by putting your hands just anywhere where someone who has it had their hands. You can get bacteriological, you can get viral, and you can get an allergic version. This is how I found all of this out, because what do? I go to Google. All it is damn red eye, and I'm going to, I'll live. So that's the main message I want to give you. Then the other message I want to give to you is that we will be back in full throat, I hope, sometime this week. But one of the tests that I do to know whether I'm ready to go or not is whether I can do Margaret's voice. And immediately I started to cough. Just thinking about her voice made me cough. That is not going to happen. In fact, doing Margaret's voice and trying to audition it for the show, I found myself hacking my guts up, and it didn't sound good. So if you can't do that, then you have to just sort of back away and do what we call a fill only, which I will do here for the second time this week. A couple of things that I would bring up to you, and perhaps you'll find them interesting, maybe not. Well, the first thing I want to mention is that we want to give away, and I went into our warehouse, and I looked around. I said, how much of our old merchandise do we still have? And we actually have 8 extra large Ted's of Beverly Hills sweatshirts. We got 8 of these. I said, well, I know how to get rid of these. I say get rid of. I know how we can give these away. What I'd like to do, listen very carefully, because I'm about to tell you how you can get an extra large. And believe me, extra large is perfect for the lady in your life, the girlfriend or the wife, because, you know, they wash it, it shrinks a little bit, gets to maybe large, it's perfect for them, right? Or extra large even. Or maybe some of you guys. Now, those are the largest of the Ted's of Beverly Hills sweatshirts that we have. These extra larges. And I've got 8 of them. So what am I going to do with them? Here's what I propose to do. And here is what, in fact, we will do. We'll give these 8 extra large sweatshirts to the first 8 people who sign up for a year's subscription to the Phil Henry Show website. Starting now. Right now. As soon as you hear my voice, and as far as I know, you may be hearing my voice too late, because as you know, this is a download. And it depends on when you downloaded this and heard this that will, you know, basically write the chapter in your life as to whether you got a Ted's of Beverly Hills sweatshirt for free. It may be a very small chapter. It's probably not even a chapter. It's a footnote. It might be not even a footnote. It might be just a clerical error that you didn't even mean to get into your life story, but there it is. So, again, the first 8 year subscriptions purchased to the world famous Phil Henry Show. Oh, one thing you have to have when you subscribe, this phrase in the additional notes area. You'll see there's a notes area when you subscribe to the Phil Henry Show website. You can write down a note, a comment, etc. I want you to write the following thing. I want Ted's shirt on my back. Okay? So you write down, I want Ted's shirt on my back on your year subscription to the Phil Henry Show website, and you get one of, if you're one of the first 8 people to do that, you'll get one of our extra large Ted's Beverly Hills sweatshirts. So the key thing to remember is you have to be one of the first 8 people. You also must put in the additional notes section, I want Ted's shirt on my back. And then, of course, you're in, baby. And I realize this sounds very complicated. It isn't. I just make it sound like it's complicated. Just be one of the first 8 people to purchase a year's subscription. You might say there's 3 components. There is the year's subscription. There is the I want Ted's shirt on my back. And there is the I have to be one of the first 8 people. All 3 of those together means you have an extra large Ted's of Beverly Hills sweatshirt, and these babies went like hotcakes, and we have literally only 8 extra larges. Now, I do have 1 large, and I'm going to just save that for some other time. You know, I don't want to confuse you, because the last thing I want are people saying, I bought a year subscription to your website, Phil, and the shirt doesn't fit me, you know. So I want you to know what you're getting. It is an extra large Ted's of Beverly Hills, and I will tell you this. I'm 6 foot, I'm 235 pounds, and an extra large doesn't fit me. I need an XXL. We used to have a bunch of those. We ain't got none. And why is that? Because we have a lot of fat slobs that listen to our show. Hey. Beautiful. So again, I would urge you to be one of the first 8 from this point forward to purchase a year's subscription to the world-famous Phil Henry Show website. Now, by saying one of the first 8, obviously we're not sitting here going, man, we got to make ourselves a ton of dough today. You know, I'm not looking to break the bank on this thing, man. We don't have like a tote board that says $1 million on it. What I want to do is give away our sweatshirts in an equitable fashion to people that are, you know, really enjoy the show and would wear the sweatshirt with pride. And I know that all of our gear, all of our shirts, and all of the things that one would adorn themselves with from the Phil Henry Show, everybody's very, very proud to wear, and we're appreciative of that. Okay. So thank you very much for that. And again, if you're hearing me right now and you say, where is Margaret? Where's the staff? They're all at home. They're all, God, for all I know, they're still asleep. I do have this cold that has continued from last week. I apologize for this, but I'll be much better. And I have to tell you, if you followed me over the last few years, I've gotten my flu shots and all that stuff, and this is the first time I've been laid low by a cold in a long time. Back in the day, back during our premier radio days, I was nailed every year. I lived with 4 children, and God, you know, they're bringing into the house all kinds of virus. Every year, I got just knocked down, man, by some cold bug. And I never, maybe I'm not too bright, which is, you know, absolutely the case, but maybe I didn't hear it when people said, you ought to get a flu shot. Because as soon as I started doing that, life became a beautiful thing. Why I got sick this year is because I didn't get my flu shot till last week. On the day I got it, I was already coming down with this cold. So this isn't flu. This here's a damn cold, plain and simple, with the attendant sore throat, the scratchy throat, can't breathe, all that jazz. And last night, everything got better because I was drinking tons of water, you know. I felt like I had a fever. I don't know, but I checked in with Maria. She said, drink water. So I started drinking tons of water. And I guess about 8 o'clock last night, all of a sudden I started feeling great. I went out to my favorite Chinese place over here, the Mandarin Gardens. And I know there's like 9 million Mandarin Gardens in America. This is my local Mandarin Gardens. Where do you go for your Chinese food? Mandarin Gardens. Oh, really? Which one? The one in, because there's 1,600 of them all over the country. I go to the one here at the El Pacifico. We got one right here off the beach. Great people that run the place. 30 years they've had it. And I go and I get their hot and sour soup. To me, that's the chicken noodle. You know how a lot of people love chicken noodle soup? I don't eat that stuff. I don't know, you know, I don't know that from anything. But hot and sour, that I get. So I started feeling great. I said, I'm going to get in the car. I'm going to go and get some hot and sour. I did. I came home. I ate like a quart of that stuff, and I felt fantastic. And this morning I got up, and I got just enough strength in me to go out and do some banking. And then I think I stopped. That hot and sour soup was so great, I think I'll get some more. Well, the restaurant, Mandarin Gardens, wasn't open, so where do I go? I go to Trader Joe's, which is Trader Joe's is that place I was telling you about. You may have one in your town. You may not. But it's a specialty food grocery store is the best way I can put it. In fact, that's the way they put it. So I guess I'm doing a pitch for them. But they have a lot of, I don't know what you would call it, man. They just have a lot of foods that you might not get in a grocery store. It's a great little place. And I looked for this hot and sour, and I couldn't find this stuff for God or man. It just was like no place. Do you have the, what's it again? Well, it's called hot and sour. Okay, then you follow them down the aisle. Let's see. I know we had some last... Bernie? Hey, Bernie.
Yeah?
Where's the hot and sour?
Huh?
The hot and sour soup? The Chinese soup?
Oh, yeah, it's all... well, three.
Okay, oh, aisle 43. Let me just... No, we're out of it.
Okay, well, thank you.
I'm so sorry. It's all right, I shouldn't have expected you to, and she's walked away, so she's not listening to you. But I did see miso soup. And that is a Japanese soup that is, it's good, but it doesn't have that good kick, man. Hot and sour, baby. Oh, man, that stuff is great. It's got a great little Szechuan spice kick to it, and you sweat like an animal, and it's great. It's fantastic. It's delicious as hell, and it's spicy, and I love it. They didn't have it, so I got this miso soup, took it home. I put a bunch of cayenne pepper in it. Not the same thing. Wasn't bad. But that's what I had the strength for yesterday. So I went to the bank. I went and got miso soup. I came home. I played with the cat. I got a cat, as you know, Thunder. This is like having a dog, this cat. This cat is exactly like a dog. You got to pay attention to her. You got to play with her. She gets depressed when you're not looking at her. She's walking around, looks like she's just going to blow her brains out with however cats commit suicide because you're not paying attention to her. So I came home and I finally had the strength to take a bird thing that I got on the end of a string. Looks like a bird. It's actually three feathers that are taped together. And I swung it around in the air and she thought she was chasing a bird. And, you know, like, hey, good one, Phil. Thank you. So that's how that went. And here we are today. Now, I do appreciate you guys being with me. I wanted to mention just a couple of things. The show won't be, I hope, not too onerous. I have to tell you, I just will tell you this. I don't want to go down any political roads. I have my opinions. You have yours. I'm probably at this point more interested in yours than you are of mine, and I don't blame you, and that's probably good. I'm getting tired of listening to myself, to be honest with you. If that gives any of you any joy, I don't blame you. However, the best thing that happened to me yesterday was the Dodgers beating Houston. With all due respect to my great Houston listeners, and we've got a lot of them, you'll forgive me, but hey, they're at home for the first time after 3 days on the road. They won the game. Jock Peterson jacked it out there, seventh inning, and he danced around the bases. And he was clapping his hands, and he was pointing at Justin Turner in the dugout. You owe me money, because I guess they had a bet. But all the while, I'm thinking, man, are they going to throw at your head come Game 7? I don't think so. I'm not even sure how prevalent that is these days. But if it is, that kid, Jock Peterson, who is a very enthusiastic kid, and he looks like he really loves the game. But when he cranked that thing out of here, and then came prancing about the bases and jumping up and down and loving it. You know, if it was the old days, somebody would just screw up a fastball and just right for the noggin. Maybe that's why that guy wears one of those helmets that protects the whole, looks like the whole right side of his face. Used to be you had a helmet. Then they had the helmet that lowered down over the side of your head. Now they've got the helmet that has a very specific band of protection from the top of the temple all the way across the ear, down across the jaw. And pretty soon we're going to be seeing helmets that have visors on them, that have bulletproof visors on them, that have breakproof. We're going to see, I'm telling you. Unless, of course, the whole this whole nonsense of throwing at people ends. And perhaps that's not how people respond to things anymore, and I hope that they don't. But Peterson prancing about the bases. So the Dodgers won the game, and we're very, very excited. Now, Vernon Dozier, and we will talk to him tomorrow night. We'll talk to him tomorrow. Today's Wednesday. We'll talk to him Thursday. Thursday, the World Series would have been won. And we'll find out whether or not Vernon was right. He picked the Dodgers in seven because he just thought they'd win in seven. And then I believe there was some comment. Basically, well, it wasn't a comment. The Astros won game five, went up 3-2. And Vernon said, just like the Astros, to make me look like a monkey's stuffed toy being tossed about the cage when I said Dodgers in seven. So we'll have him on as well as a guest. Now, moving on from baseball, the football news is as follows, and I don't watch football. That's the thing I wanted to tell you. That's the number one piece of news from the football world. I don't watch it anymore. I know a lot of you guys may not believe me, but I don't. I don't watch football. It's probably not a major piece of news for many of you. However, I would just tell you, I don't watch football. Why? Because, very simply, I am protesting football on the basis of the number of concussions that have been suffered by professional football players that have been so destructive and tragic in the implication and the physical effect, that we've had players committing suicide as the result of brain damage suffered from so many concussions. CTE is the syndrome. CTE. This is the syndrome that creates this damage to the brain from the number of concussions that you suffer as a player. Now, I don't know about anybody else. That compared to the anthem protest, I'm not saying I'm superior to people that are protesting, but I'm not. The reason why I don't watch football is because it's destroying people's brains, especially young people. So you understand, it isn't just about the professional player. It's about the college player. It's about the high school player. In fact, it's about the peewee football player. Every time you suffer any kind of damage like that, the brain is permanently damaged. And that was so shocking to me when I heard that news over the off season. When, first off, Junior Seau's death, his suicide in San Diego by shotgun to the chest. To the chest. And I don't know whether a man chooses that particular mode of self-extermination because it would be more brutal if you put the shotgun to your head. It would be more traumatic for those that recovered your body. I don't know. But I was so stunned by that. And I had followed Junior Seau throughout his career. I'd watched him play football for the Chargers. I know he went on and played for somebody else. I can't even tell you who. I mean, that cat was identified with San Diego Charger football for years. And I was a big football fan throughout Junior Seau's career. And when he committed suicide, it stunned me. And I found out it was the result of this deterioration caused by CTE. Now, for my way of thinking, that was as good a reason to boycott football as anything. Especially when I found out that it affects younger people, too. Now, I know there's a lot of football fans that are rationalizing the hell out of that, because they love their football. Well, you know, Phil, well, no, tell me about it. Well, you know, I'm sure it's not as bad as they say. Well, you got doctors weighing in. You got, yeah, they do that. You know, the players, they're probably angling for some money, you know. But then along comes this anthem thing, and that, yeah, they care about. I'm not saying the national anthem is not to be appreciated. I'm not saying that the national anthem is not to be loved. Hey, look, let me tell you what. My whole life I've been going to ball games, and I've stood for the anthem. I was taught to stand for the anthem. My father was a military veteran like many of you, and you know, we all love to say that we come from military families and we're just all wonderful when it comes to that. Okay, fine. In my case, it happens to be true. I got a World War II veteran father, a Vietnam veteran brother, and believe me when I tell you, I was taught how to stand at attention for the flag, not as a military guy, but as a civilian. You stand there, you can put your hand over your heart if you want to, but stand there with your hands in front of you, and you don't move, and you look at the flag. You can sing the anthem if you want. You don't have to, but God damn it, be respectful. Understand? Yes, Dad, okay. That was the way it was. Take your hat off. Because I went through a whole show on what it is truly like to be the son or the child of an immigrant. Because a lot of you, I suspect, don't really know what that is. And I am the son of immigrants. Canadian, but immigrants. And believe me when I tell you, it's a thing. Even Canadians who moved to the United States to become Americans fall into that beautiful pattern of behavior and attitude and tuition and education for the children that Americans don't experience because we've been here for so many generations. And believe me when I tell you, it's hyper patriotic. Flags, eagles, 4th of July, stuff that, you know, on the 4th of July, my father would sit and read Thomas Jefferson to us. I don't know how many families do that in America. I suspect not that many. That was important to him. So now comes the anthem. I'm at my very first ball games. My whole life I've been going to hockey games, baseball games, football games, every kind of goddamn game, excuse my French. And I'm standing there at attention for the anthem because that's what I was told to do. And what do I see? I've told you guys this before. I see people standing around me. Some of them are paying attention. Some of them aren't. Some of them are scratching their ass. Some of them aren't. Some of them are singing. Some of them aren't. Some of them are looking around, looking for their friends, drinking their beer, eating their hot dog, talking to their friend with their hats on. They don't give a shit. Right? That's okay. That's America. I figure, and this is how I was taught, they can do what they want because it's a free country. Now along comes these dudes that are kneeling, and suddenly every damn person in the stands is a red-blooded, loyal American who just absolutely loves singing the national anthem, which I know is not true because I've seen with my own eyes how people behave. Now, maybe this has improved the behavior, which is great, but I don't think it should be observed without the attendant observation that it was achieved at the expense of demeaning these guys, these players, who are using that moment to protest a bit of social injustice, that is police brutality. They're using that moment of attention to the flag, that moment of attention. And I know a lot of you guys don't want to hear this, I understand, but let me tell you something. Let me tell you something you might not know. I've been busting people left and right on Twitter. I mean, left and right on Twitter, who have been all pissy and bitchy about the players kneeling for the anthem. And then a little bit down their timeline, I see these are people that are boycotting, by the way, boycotting the NFL. I'm never again going to watch a game. You can forget it. And then I go down their timeline a little bit. Oh, there they are. Goddamn Steelers on 3rd and 5. They should have punted the ball, you know. So they're weighing in with all kinds of opinions on the football game that they're supposed to be boycotting. So I'm not buying that bullshit. Although, let me tell you what. I appreciate everybody's opinion about everything. And I believe there are people very, very upset with what they consider to be a disrespect to the flag and the anthem. I understand that. It bothers me because I think the players have a legitimate protest. But it also bothers me because I think maybe they didn't call their shot the way they should. Maybe the players picked the wrong spot to do the thing they want to do. Maybe they, you know, screwed that up. See, I didn't want to get all political, and here I am getting all political. But all I wanted to say with regard to that was that I don't watch football because of the concussion thing, man. I'm not boycotting the NFL because of the players' anthem protest, etc., or, you know, or so-called, because they're not protesting the anthem. But I don't watch the NFL because I don't want to patronize a sport that's killing people. Now, I know that they may improve things next year, the year after. I know that things may not be as bad as I think they are. But right now, I don't get any kick, man, out of watching that game. And I saw the replays of Joe Flacco getting hit the other night. And you saw the look on his face. You see the look on a man's face when he suffers a concussion. He's going through a combination of he's stunned and he's in pain. It is a horrible, torturous feeling. A look of complete disorientation and painful physical agony. The eyes glass over. You know, you've seen it many times. And this is damage to the brain that is permanent and can begin the debilitation of mood and one's ability to motor sensory abilities, everything having to do with the cognitive and et cetera, so on and so forth of the brain. I'm trying to sound like a brain surgeon here. That I ain't. I feel for those guys. So that's why I stopped watching football. And I don't think there's one person that I know of. When a friend of mine, I was talking to my friend the Swede, he says, "You still watching football?" I said, "No, I stopped." "Yeah, me too, man." I said, "But I stopped for a reason you probably don't." "Well, what?" I stopped because of the CTE. "Not me." "Well, I knew that, you know." "Well, let me guess. Is it, yeah, it's the national anthem." "Yeah, okay." My little CTE protest has been lost, man. It's like swallowed up in the anger and, you know, self-righteous indignation having to do with the national anthem. By the way, I picked up a book, and I don't want to go on too much further because I want to say two things to you. I am going to see you tomorrow with more here from the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And please, if you would like a year's subscription to our show and a Teds of Beverly Hills sweatshirt, what I need for you to do is the following. I want you to go over to our sign-up page, sign up for 1 year subscription, and put there in the additional notes box, "I want Ted's shirt on my back." Okay? That's two. But you have to also qualify for a third step. Be one of the first 8 people to do it. I probably mentioned it too much because by now we've no doubt had far more inquiries. But we've only got 8. They're extra large Teds of Beverly Hills sweatshirts. And we're down to the very, very last. And after that, that's it, man. This stuff is like limited edition. I don't know whether that's cool or not, but hey, you know. It's a limited edition sweatshirt. You remember the bowling shirts we had? Those were huge. Will we do them again? I doubt it. Why? Because I don't think bowling shirts are all that happening. Are people wearing those? I don't think so. I did because my wife at the time, Maria, bought like 16 of them for me. You know, look at these are great. And you can wear them anywhere. Great. Thank you. Especially at your weight. Uh-huh. No wonder I put on, like, I don't know, 50 pounds when I got married because I had bowling shirts to wear. So who can complain when you have bowling shirts? Big, wide, racing stripe bowling shirts. Anyway, our Teds of Beverly Hills bowling shirts were a smasheroo. Okay. That about does it here for today's Phil Henry Show podcast, such as it is, and the reasons, of course, I articulated at the outset, suffering from a cold, a scratchy throat, all that stuff, something that hasn't really affected me for a couple of years, but we got the, like I said, the flu shot late, so we'll be back tomorrow, and God willing, man, Margaret and the rest of the crew will be with us here at philhenryshow.com. Again, if you'd like to grab a hold of one of our last 8 extra large Ted's of Beverly Hills sweatshirts, go to our sign-up page and get a year's subscription and put a note there in the additional comment box. I want to put Ted's shirt on my back. If you're one of the first 8 people to hear this and you actually, you know, do the do there on our sign-up page, man, you get one of those shirts. God knows how many people are going to be unhappy with me that they got in a little bit too late. But we've got other stuff, too, as well. What we're doing, basically, is walking through our warehouse and clearing that thing out. So do that. PhilHenryShow.com. That's PhilHenryShow.com. You know, Phil Henry, that's me. And my show, that's my show, is executive produced by me, Phil Henry, for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One. There you go.